Greetings, pilgrims. It's Pastor Bob, and this is Tuesday of our Holy Week, the last week of our Lenten journey together. It's episode number 42 of our Lenten daily devotion. And this is Holy Week. Amen. So today we're going to hear some scripture from the book of Isaiah, the great messianic prophet for the Jews. And we'll have some thoughts from Mary Alice Mulligan, some reflective questions about your own life of faith. We'll have a little poem or meditation from Rumi, our featured poet for this whole series. And we'll pray it out at the end. Amen. Well, we've prepared ourselves spiritually for this little 15-minute or so experience. We have the chant of the mystics chanting the background sounds for us today. We have a cerulean surf and sea pearl white candle with a perfect strong flame. And we have kava tea. Amen. So let us begin with our scripture today. The book of Isaiah, pretty big book in the Bible, amen. Chapter 49, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah 49, 1 through 7. This is immediately in the book of Isaiah after the exiles, the Israelite exiles, receive their freedom from Babylon. And then this chapter shows up, the commissioning of the Lord's servant. And we hear these words of prophecy from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 1 through 7. Listen to me, all of you in far-off lands. The Lord called me before my birth. From within the womb, he called me by name. He made my words of judgment as sharp as a sword. He has hidden me in the shadow of his hand. I am like a sharp arrow in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, and you will bring me glory." I replied, "But my work all seems so useless. I have spent my strength for nothing and to no purpose at all. Yet I leave it all in the Lord's hand. I will trust God for my reward." And now the Lord speaks. He who formed me in my mother's womb to be his servant, who commissioned me to bring his people of Israel back to him. The Lord has honored me, and my God has given me strength. He says, "You will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." The Lord, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, says to the one who is despised and rejected by a nation, to the one who is the servant of rulers, "Kings will stand at attention when you pass by. Princes will bow low because the Lord has chosen you. He, the faithful Lord, the Holy One of Israel, chooses you." And here's Mary Alice Mulligan's insights from her Lenten devotional, Go to Jerusalem. She says, "This is scripture Jesus grew up hearing. Yet he would not have anticipated that millennia later some people would identify him with God's servant. Many scholars believe the writers meant Israel as God's chosen servant. Others argue the passage can still be used to help us understand Jesus. No wonder the interpretation today is mixed, since Isaiah paints a mixed portrait. The servant appears to be an abject failure. Yet God promises to be glorified through him. Even when the servant senses complete futility, Lord Yahweh says merely reconciling unfaithful Israel back to God is not enough. Instead, the servant will have a more monumental task, namely, illuminating God's salvation for all nations. Rulers to the ends of the world will acknowledge the servant as God's chosen one. Certainly, during Holy Week, we sense the reality of Jesus' apparent failure, even as we acknowledge him as Savior of the world. Here's some insights from Mary Alice Mulligan for your own reflection, beginning with this question. The one you've been waiting for all Holy Week, maybe all Lent. What about your own life of faith? What about your own life of faith? Have you ever felt the failure of some important ministry or mission you believed God was guiding you to perform? Write out or think about or ponder, right? Some experience you have had of trying to serve God. If you cannot remember a time you felt you failed in a mission, might that mean you have not been bold enough in stepping out to try something new? Considering what you know about the radical teachings of Jesus, is there a project you could introduce in your congregation that would be a gift to those in need in the world? And now let's turn to our poet laureate for the series, Rumi. I know, you just can't get enough. I just picture Joe Watkins out on the farm riding the tractor, listening to the devotion, just praying for more Rumi in her life, hoping that today would be a Rumi meditation. Maybe like all of us. Amen. Here is a little meditation from Rumi called Gnats Inside the Wind. Gnats Inside the Wind. So this is kind of a deep thinker. It's short. It's fun. But you must understand that this meditation is about union with God, being one with God, not one and the other, not I and thou, but being in union with God. And we learn this lesson from some gnats. This is called Gnats Inside the Wind by Rumi. We'll read it twice. Some gnats come from grass to speak with Solomon. O Solomon, you are the champion of the oppressed. You give justice to the little guys, and they don't get any littler than us. We are tiny metaphors for frailty. Can you defend us? Who has mistreated you? Our complaint is against the wind. Well, says Solomon, you have pretty voices, you gnats. But remember, a judge cannot listen to just one side. I must hear both litigants. Of course, agree the gnats. Summon the east wind, calls out Solomon, and the wind arrives almost immediately. What happened to the gnat plaintiffs? Gone. Such is the way of every seeker who comes to complain at the high court. When the presence of God arrives, where are the seekers? First, there's dying. Then union. Like gnats inside the wind. Gnats Inside the Wind by Rumi. Some gnats come from the grass to speak with Solomon. Oh, Solomon, you are the champion of the oppressed. You give justice to the little guys, and they don't get any littler than us. We are tiny metaphors for frailty. Can you defend us? Who has mistreated you? Our complaint is against the wind. Well, says Solomon, you have pretty voices, you gnats. But remember, a judge cannot listen to just one side. I must hear both litigants. Of course, agreed the gnats. Summon the east wind, calls out Solomon, and the wind arrives almost immediately. What happened to the gnat plaintiffs? Gone. Such is the way of every seeker who complains at the high court. When the presence of God arrives, where are the seekers? First there's dying, then union, like gnats inside the wind. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, chosen servant of God, we remember your struggles this week. We honor you as our teacher and our Savior. Guide us this week to carry on your ministry. Amen.